This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Good Wednesday evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us here on Tactics, whether you're watching us on YouTube or Periscope, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Probably said a couple of those twice, but whatever. We're on all the platforms, so if you miss the show, that's really kind of a you problem. We're on enough platforms at this point. And by the way, speaking of that, did want to make mention of we're making some changes to the Tactics audio-only podcast. So, of course, the best way to watch the show is to sit down and actually see the video because we have some visual aspects and visual aids that we do. But we do also have, if you're on the road or whatever, you don't want to eat up all your bandwidth, we do have the audio-only option, and that is available exclusively. If you want to get full episodes of the program, that is available exclusively at tacticsradio.com, so be sure to check us out there. Well, thank you for being here with us on the program where speech isn't violence, tolerance isn't love, and disagreement isn't hate. And as always on Wednesday, we're going to focus on a story that is really has more of a spiritual nature to it, so we're going to dive right in, right here, right now. And it is also a local story, so Alabama Sheriff Nick Smith of Walker County. Got to get that. As a really big Chuck Norris fan, whenever I see any kind of law enforcement official, I want to think of them as Walker, which I mean, I would say is a testament to how much I like this guy, and you'll understand why in here in just a second. But I actually had one of my students who's a foreign student. I want to say he's from Spain. He came into my office today and he saw my giant autographed picture of Chuck Norris. He's like, hey, Chuck Norris. Like even people from other countries know Walker, Texas Ranger. But no, his name is not Walker. His name is Nick Smith. He just happens to be from Walker County, Alabama. So this is a local story. And he winds up getting into a dispute with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now, I actually have some personal experience with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, not because they've gone after me personally, but because I've known people that they did. They've done it with my university, Auburn University. They just constantly go after people. They're essentially the same way that the devil is described in the Bible, that he's a prowling lion looking to whom he may devour. But the thing is, comparing them to Satan is really giving them far too much credit because they're pretty inert. Like, they don't really do a whole lot, and they do bring up Freedom From Religion cases. Like, they try to pull the whole First Amendment thing and have that very narrow definition of freedom of religion. I mean, that's kind of all in the name, but they actually have a case already that they're working on very similar to the one that we're going to talk about tonight. But the truth is, they're not nearly as prominent or to be feared as they were at one time. A lot of their work winds up falling on deaf ears, and they really just wind up wasting most of their donors' money to get decisions by courts mostly thrown out, at least here recently, which is actually a trend that I think is going in the right direction in America. The vast majority of the trends that we're seeing, the trending towards socialism and liberalism, definitely not good things. And in a lot of ways, conservatives are losing the culture war. But that is one where I think we are actually doing a lot better on. There's certainly freedom of religion issues, like the whole thing with the gay weddings. That's certainly still around. But as far as the third-party observer being offended by something religious, therefore we must do something about it, those cases are largely dying out, which is kind of promising. And the reason that they're dying out is because there have been several really big victories with court cases with that. And so that's why you're seeing that not being nearly as big a deal as it used to be, which, I mean, is a step in the right direction. It's one of the very few things that's kind of going our way in the court system. And I'm glad to see that. But this whole thing with the sheriff of Walker County, it really started out with a letter that they received on November 26th where they had some issues about this sheriff's Facebook post. And they claimed that he was promoting religion over non-religion, and they claimed he, and this is a quote, has a pattern of calling on citizens to pray during times of tragedy. That's their problem, that when there is some kind of tragedy in the community or something really bad happens. And two posts in particular, one dealt with a 14-year-old boy that was killed accidentally by a deputy when he was riding his four-wheeler. I don't know the full story on that. It sounds to me, based on the details that I got, that there was like some kind of collision, or maybe it was an accidental gun going off, something. I'm not sure. But there was something that was evidently a homicide, but an accidental homicide between a sheriff's deputy and a 14-year-old riding his four-wheeler, which is, of course, tragic. And then another story about Big John Williams being shot that we talked to you about a couple weeks ago. There was a post about that. And in this post, he's asking for prayers. Well, they're saying, well, he has a pattern of asking of prayers in times of tragedy. Well, duh. I mean, that happens all the time with leaders. I don't really, would you rather him have a pattern of calling for prayer when there's not a tragedy? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, that'd be a good thing too. I wouldn't oppose to that. In fact, one of my mantras is that we should pray for God when it's raining and when it's not. But it's just, it's such an obvious thing. It's like, well, yeah, he's asking for prayers when a tragedy strikes. That's when people tend to ask for prayers. But anyway, just skipping beside that, the letter goes on to describe his actions, and it says that we write to encourage your office to use more inclusive language when posting on social media. So you're asking him to not include prayer when he's talking about these tragedies on social media. That would actually be exclusive, not inclusive. Inclusive, even though I think that this would be something that would be beyond things that I need to worry myself about, especially considering I don't even live in Walker County. By the way, these guys are based out of Wisconsin. So if you want people that have an issue minding their own business, I mean, this is definitely a case of it. It's Wisconsin or Michigan, somewhere around there. It's somewhere in the Rust Belt. In other words, they ain't from around here. They're from a long ways off, and the fact that they're bothering themselves about what goes on in Walker County is a bit telling of them, I would say. They seem to not have enough to do, so they're doing this now. But by including other groups, that would be like if he said, all right, I want everybody in the community to pray or do yoga or something that the other religions that don't really pray do, I don't know. Because prayer is pretty inclusive. Prayer would include Christians, Jews, and Muslims. So three of the world's four major religions. That's pretty inclusive language there. And by asking him to stop doing that, you're actually asking him to exclude people. And see, that's the thing. Everybody has a religion. Atheist religion is having no God. And these are religious zealots that are basically saying, well, we want you to be more inclusive, and by more inclusive, what they mean is exclusive. In other words, if their religion is no religion, and they are asking the guy to not include religion in his post, what they're actually asking is, we want you to reflect our religion instead of yours. See, this is not about inclusivity. If he had said, pray to Allah and to Yahweh and to Jesus, well, that would be a different way of saying exactly what he said, but trying to include more groups in that along with his prayer request, that would be more inclusive. What they're asking is for an exclusion of religion, which, by the way, an exclusion of religion is their religion. And if you don't believe me, it's in their freaking name, Freedom From Religion Foundation. So... it doesn't get more clear-cut than that. So the Freedom From Religion Foundation later on in this letter says this as well. By couching its post in specific religious terminology, the Walker County Sheriff's Office is excluding a significant portion of the community. By calling on a God to intervene, the Sheriff's Office is sending a message to non-religious citizens that they are outsiders within their own community and that their participation in the healing process is not valued. I can't believe how thin-skinned these guys are. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because we've gone so far down this road that this is just where we are as a society now, but the thin-skinnedness gets old fast. And you could say, Caleb, it's because you're a Christian and that language is inclusive of the religion that you subscribe to. Well, here's the thing that I'll give you an example of why Christians tend to be far less thin-skinned about these things. At least, granted, there's thin-skinned Christians out there too, but the ones that I've dealt with typically are not. Personally, from my religious belief, I don't think that a prayer is, at least in synchronization with what the Bible recommends, if it's not asked for in Christ's name. There are several scriptures that allude to that, Jesus himself speaking, also the apostles afterward. That's why when you hear Christians pray, they end the prayer with in Christ's name or in the name of Christ or something similar, something along those lines. That's the reason that practice is done. I've had Jewish people pray to God, same God, but they're not asking in Christ's name. So that's not a prayer that is, you know, in keeping with the Christian tradition that is laid out in the New Testament. I've also been at places where Muslims prayed to Allah, not even the same God. And I didn't participate in the prayer. I believe that the prayer was blasphemous and all they're doing is wasting their breath. But I didn't try to stop them from praying. Another thing, too, and I could go into detail on this at another time, though I absolutely have no problem with women praying and leading even young children in prayer and teaching their kids how to pray, there are several scriptures that allude to it's not correct or proper for a woman to be in a leadership role in prayer, and so I don't believe in women leading prayer publicly, leading other men in prayer. And yet this happened routinely at my high school. And I didn't agree with it. I didn't participate in it. But I also didn't try to stop it. I didn't try to protest. I didn't try to say that there was something wrong with it. I mean, I said there was something wrong with it to other students on a moral basis, but I didn't try to get some kind of authority figure to come down and cease and desist and tell that teacher to stop praying because it disagreed with my religious beliefs. I didn't do that. With these guys, it's like the second somebody even uses religious language, oh, we can't hear it. We cannot hear. Let us not hear the word. If you've ever seen Monty Python, the knights who say knee, and they can't hear the word it, that's what these guys are. They're just throwing their hands over theirs. Oh, we cannot hear the word. That's how thin-skinned they are. And it wears on you after a while. You're like, guys, get a life. Come on. This is not that big a deal. But this is what they've dedicated their life to, apparently. And I'm not trying to start waves, even though I know that I'm going to. I'm just saying what I think. I'm not doing it specifically to be a troll or to get under people's skin. Sometimes I do that. I'm not doing that right now. Right now, I'm just thinking, like, at points like this in a tragedy, how would an atheist even assist in the healing process? Because that's what they mentioned in this quote, that they said that by calling on God to intervene, the sheriff's office is sending a message to non-religious people that they are outsiders and that their participation in the healing process is not valued. Now, when a tragedy like this happens, there are certainly ways that an atheist could help out. I mean, maybe they bring this is the South, so maybe they bring some kind of food to the family. That would be an assistance in the healing process, even though it's not religiously based. But when it happens something like this, where a sheriff is just communicating the details of a tragedy to this, and they're still under investigation, there's no arrangements made or anything like that, how is any atheist supposed to assist in that process? The only thing that religious people can do at this point is to pray. An atheist doesn't believe in that avenue and doesn't think that he has that avenue, so what is an atheist supposed to do in participating in the healing process at this point? Well, I don't know. And so that's the thing that I think is really odd, is that I'm not saying that their sympathy is not valued, but it can't really manifest itself in any meaningful way until, you know, a little bit later in the tragedy. And so I'm very confused as to that. They're trying to make a point here, but you're like, but even if he didn't say anything about prayer, how would they lend that assistance at this point in the tragedy? And so it's very odd. It's like they didn't really think this thing through before they wrote it. And then they say a little bit later, Observing a strict separation of church and state excludes no one and honors the First Amendment. It is not the government's job to promote religion over non-religion. Okay, this one's just completely ridiculous to anybody that knows even a modicum of American history or really even understands legal theory from the First Amendment's perspective. If you look at the First Amendment, it says that it shall not prohibit the exercise thereof. And so when you're looking at the First Amendment, it was meant to be a guard against religions. It's a guard for religions against the federal government. See, they always try to treat it as though it's the opposite way. It's like the First Amendment, that was the wall that they built to try to keep religion out of government. No, the founders were very clear about this. They actually did it to do the exact opposite, to keep the state from discriminating against religions. And so they have it literally backwards than what was originally intended, and the separation of church and state is not even in the First Amendment. And another thing, too, the First Amendment wouldn't even really affect a sheriff's office anyway. They're a local government branch. Now, granted, the sheriff is a constitutional officer, at least in the state of Alabama, so he's also a state official, but the First Amendment would not apply to those because of the 10th Amendment. And so if you understand legal theory or American history, then they're barking up the wrong tree, even if you happen to agree or disagree with the religious practices or their thoughts that it's not inclusive enough. They're trying to make the argument from the First Amendment, which doesn't even apply here. But even if it did, let's just say that you're an incorporationalist, that you believe that the First Amendment applies to every level of government, no matter who it is. I don't subscribe to that. I have, you know, I could do 30 minutes on why I don't subscribe to that theory just based on the legal and the legal history and also the American history that we have of that, the precedent that has been set by other leaders. But let's just say that that's your worldview, that you believe that all the amendments apply equally to the states and local authorities just as much as they do the federal government. Even then, you still don't have a case to make. And here's why. None of the founders, not a single one that I'm aware of, would have opposed a local sheriff asking for prayers in the wake of a tragedy, even the ones that were less religious. Let's look at some of the facts. First of all, we just had Thanksgiving. Does anybody know what the actual intent behind Thanksgiving was? The original name of the holiday of Thanksgiving was a national day of prayer and thanksgiving. We literally had a national holiday that instructed people, hey, this is a time where we'd appreciate your prayers. And if you think that I'm just making this up, go back and read George Washington's first Thanksgiving Day proclamation. There are other Thanksgiving Day proclamations that you can look up in the Library of Congress, and if you're looking at all of the early ones, every single one points to prayer. If you look at the inaugural addresses of Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Lincoln, John Quincy Adams, you look at all those early ones, just about every single one, in both terms, specifically ask the nation to pray for them as they are taking office, to pray that they have wisdom, integrity, that when they go into the office, that the nation will be blessed by them taking that office. This is a common practice amongst the founders. Now think about that. The opening line in Washington's Thanksgiving Day proclamation is that it is the duty of all nations to pray to God. And he beseeches every single one of them on the Thursday of Thanksgiving to give thanks to God and to pray. Now, the First Amendment definitely applies to them because, you know, they're part of the federal government. And yet you have over and over again guys that were there when it was written. George Washington was not only the first president, he was the first president of the Constitutional Convention that convened in Philadelphia, where the First Amendment was written. And one of the first acts as president of the United States, I mean, granted, it was several months after he was inaugurated, but still very early in his first term, one of his very first acts as president is go to the nation, ask them to pray. So the idea that, well, they would have had a real problem, they wrote the First Amendment intending for sheriffs to not be able to request prayers from his community. That's just absurd. There's no truth to that. Thomas Jefferson, who they often credit as being the guy who came up with the separation of church and state doctrine, which is patently false, and you know that if you've actually read the Bible, or sorry, read the Bible, read the original letter to the Dansbury Baptist Association, which Jefferson wrote. If you've read that letter and look at it in context, you understand what he said when he says a wall of separation is he's talking about the government not interfering with church matters. But even in Thomas Jefferson's case, who was one of the less religious founders, I think that that's a fair assessment, still a very religious man, but less religious than most of the founders, he actually did say that it was not right for a president to call for a national day of prayer. So you might say, oh, well, you know, Thomas Jefferson, by the way, who was not there when the Constitution was written, he was in France at the time. Thomas Jefferson did say that it was inappropriate for a president to offer, ask for prayer requests to the nation. Yes, but do you know why? Because he didn't just say that and then let it go. Because of the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment, which we just talked about, is the reason that the First Amendment does not apply to a sheriff. It wasn't because he thought it was inappropriate for a chief magistrate to ask people to pray. It was because he said it was inappropriate because the individual state should do that, and actually encouraged governors, after talking about it, he said that they should be the ones calling for national days, or for days of prayer, not national days of prayer because it would be statewide. So the idea that there was any founder that would have opposed this is patently stupid, and it shows a complete ignorance of the history of this country. So you may be sitting there asking, what did the Post say? What was so horrible to create all of this commotion? Well, one of them, in reference to the 14-year-old that was killed in an accident involving a deputy, it said this. Sheriff Nick Walker says, as your sheriff, I am responsible for speaking for my department, and all I ask is that you pray. Pray hard and pray from the deepest parts of your heart, because there are two good people that need it now more than ever. So what happens here is the sheriff is speaking on behalf of his department. Now, it doesn't matter whether he's speaking on behalf of his department or personally, in my opinion. But he's saying, as the leader of your department, I have spoken to my department, and the message that they would like for me to convey is for you to pray for them. I don't see how that's anything other than him doing his job as a spokesperson for his department and for the community. The idea that that is somehow a violation is just patently absurd. And then the sheriff's response to this after receiving this letter, because this broke earlier this week, this is the sheriff's office official response. We consider it a great honor to be considered and to have received a wonderful letter from the Freedom From Religion organization. Proud to have a sheriff that won't bow to political pressure or the devices of the enemy. As our chief deputy, Anthony Litch, quoted from Matthew 16, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Well done. This guy pretty much, I mean, obviously I don't live in Walker County, I'm in Montgomery County, but this guy would automatically get my vote just for that. I could not have crafted a better response to the Freedom of Religion Foundation. And I have a feeling his voters, the vast majority of them, his constituents, are really going to reward him for this when it comes re-election time. But this really does boil down, and that last little part is what I kind of want to zero in on here. That they do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. See, that's the issue here, because there's really only two kinds of atheist. There are atheists in this world that don't bother anybody. They may voice their opinions, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with people voicing their opinions. They may tell you that you're wrong or silly or even foolish for believing in some kind of supernatural being or higher power. But they don't go around trying to make a butt out of themselves. They don't try to stick in people's side. They don't try to be annoying to people as possible. And they don't begrudge people because of their beliefs. They're not bigots. These guys are. And they're the second kind of atheist. There are atheists, and then there's also Christian haters. And by the way, there are a lot of people that are annoying and even, I would say, intolerant towards and militant towards Christians that don't even necessarily fall into the Christian hater specific category. Great example is Bill Maher. Now, Bill Maher does not like him some Christianity, but he also really doesn't like Muslims or Jews. And I don't mean that he hates them as people. I'm saying that he thinks that they are wrong and he thinks that their religion is stupid. I mean, I think that's a fair characterization of what Bill Maher believes. But a lot of the atheists are just secularists that subscribe to the popular doctrine of the political left and will actually go out of their way to defend Muslims, which is really hilarious considering they talk about how bad religion is and how it's violent and how it's dangerous. And then they'll go to the, I mean, absolutely walk a mile just to get a chance to defend Islam. It doesn't make any sense. It only makes sense if your primary objective is a political agenda. But I digress on all of that. I just wanted to say, Sheriff Smith of Walker County, I appreciate your gumption. I appreciate your backbone and actually standing up to these guys, because the thing is, they're not even bringing a lawsuit. They know they've got nothing. They know they can't do anything to the sheriff. They know that if they brought it into a court, they would just be wasting their money. And that's why they sent a letter to this guy. Not a lawsuit, no intention of filing anything, because they know they've got no case. They're sending this letter to try to scare people. They're trying to scare someone into compliance because there's the fear of a lawsuit looming over their head. Thankfully, Sheriff Smith called their bluff and said, go pound sand, which is exactly the way that you should handle it. Well done, Sheriff Smith. And that's going to be my time for today. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.